Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Justin Rogers, and I definitely have a trading problem.
And I'm Antonio Denisi, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 207 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. The DAP Network, if you will. And we will. So as you can hear, Russ is not here tonight, but we have a great show in store for you. I got Justin, my buddy, hopping on with me to co-host as he often does when Russ can't make it. Justin, how you doing tonight?
Hey, you know, I'm pretty good. You know, relaxing between work.
Is that training for that marathon?
Yeah, but it's like tapering down, taper. So no long runs this week, which is nice.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Justin will be running the Boston Marathon and then meeting up with a bunch of us Philly podcasters shortly after, Jersey Philly podcasters.
Yeah,
so looking forward to that. Yep, and great guest tonight, Antonio. Why don't you let everybody know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So happy to be here. You can find me on Twitter at Antonio Denisi FF. I'm part of the Dynasty Mafia podcast with my buddy Keenan. So you can find the pod at DynastyMafia_FF. And we have a website that we like to update occasionally, trying to get a lot better at that, DynastyMafiaPodcast.network. But mostly on Twitter, just trying to get information out there a couple times a week. I like to update stats with a lot of people, and I like to get some articles out as well. I try once or twice a month. I went a little harder last season, but now we're getting into the non-point scoring season, really getting into it. So I'm excited to start putting more content out there.
Sounds great. And we were talking before the show. We have a little bit of a light show sheet. Come on, Trade Addicts Leagues, you need to start making more trades. We only got five on there tonight. So, but Antonio told me an interesting little nugget before the show about Russ. So I wanted to get into that a little bit. That's fantasy related. He said that Russ put in a chat that Antonio was in that he has a running back, Javonte Williams, ahead of CeeDee Lamb. What do you think, Justin? Where are you with that?
I'm shocked. I mean, I feel like I just need to log off, go to sleep and wake up tomorrow, and reality, we'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
Russ has someone besides JT, is what I should say, because yeah, everyone has JT.
Everyone has JT ahead of CeeDee Lamb. But
over CeeDee Lamb. It blows my mind. Who is this fellow? No wonder he's not on for 96.
It shows that, yeah, right there. He must be delirious right now to have posted that.
Yeah, JW. Sorry, Rocky.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, I'm not that far off from that myself, but I'm more of a running back guy. You know, I mean, Javonte's value is through the roof, and I've been on record multiple times saying I don't think Gordon is coming back. So, you know, people are probably even going to double count that when it happens. But Antonio, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to quote him here because I saw it about 10 minutes before I hopped on the show, so I couldn't say anything to him to start a conversation, but it was Javonte worth decently more, and it was a CeeDee Lamb for Javonte straight up, and I heavily disagree, and I am shocked with him being a Seahawks fan with Russell Wilson going to Denver that he backs Javonte that much, especially with what we saw happening in Dallas and Amari Cooper leaving and Blake Jarwin leaving. I said to you guys before the show, I'm getting closer to him potentially being my 101 for especially for wide receivers. It's tough to say over Chase, as I'm sure we'll get into the episode, but I was taken back.
Yeah, I was surprised when you said that. I mean, they just put up Chase and Jefferson just put up too much production for me even to think about that. I have CD probably at 3 or 4 somewhere in there, even though he hasn't produced. There's not a lot of guys that are easily to slot in there. Most of them are either older producers or guys like CD who've done something, but not quite as much as Chase and Jefferson. So, would you actually draft him over one of them in a startup?
So today it's a no, but as I just started with looking at CD Lamb and really diving into the numbers, the guy had the most receiving yards in the slot for a rookie in over 20 years. He almost had 1,000 yards in the slot. And he's a guy that we've seen be able to play, you know, the X if he really wanted to. Mostly in the slot, he does well. But now that they're getting rid of Blake Jarwin, now that they have Dalton Schultz coming up, you might see a little less 2 tight end sets, which is they might want to work out CeeDee Lamb in a few different areas, or that's going to leave it more open for him in the middle of field. He's tremendous with yards after catch. But you're right, touchdowns is going to be the biggest thing with him. But can I see a 115 catch, 1,400 yard, 8 touchdown season? That I can see is a pretty possible for CeeDee Lamb attaining. And then he just really has to hit double digits to probably be that next level of the first wide receiver. But I do love Chase as well. So it's really tough right now. He's getting there. He's definitely number 2 over Justin Jefferson right now.
Wow. Rocky, I pulled up the, your auction draft that you've been running.
Right, right.
I pulled up the results of that just to see what Javonte and CeeDee Lamb went for. That was early enough that prices didn't get super distorted. Javonte went for 73 and CD went for 69.
Nice.
On purpose.
So yeah, pretty close, but Javonte.
Yeah, pretty close. Higher. Yeah. I would prefer Javonte personally. I think that you're going to get.
I think you could probably sell him for, you probably can sell him for more just in terms of pure value, which I think is probably what Russ was talking about. I wonder if he had CD, if he'd actually sell him for Javonte, Russ. But in
it's
terms
hard to
of.
Imagine.
Yeah, I know. But in terms of pure value, and as you were talking about it, Antonio, there are some whispers that the Cowboys might look at receiver in the draft, one of the higher end guys, either first or second round type guys. Would that damper your CD love?
So I think it would probably make it more efficient. I don't know necessarily about the damper. I would say maybe 160 targets, might be looking more like 140. But the efficiency that he's going to produce, he's someone that can get 14, 15 yards a catch on a good amount where he's necessary. I believe he's near career 14. So it's definitely not outlandish for something for him to do. And he has over 65% catch rate. So that's fantastic too, which is, I mean, anything you're getting near 70, especially for a slot receiver, you're elite. So that's an amazing attribute for him. And he's able to, again, touchdowns aren't his big forte, only had 6. But I think that's something that could increase with Cooper leaving. Dak likes his tight ends a lot in the red zone more than we realize.
Yeah.
So I think that might be a big thing as well.
And yeah, I'm with you there. Even if they draft a guy, he produced pretty well, like not as much as we wanted, but pretty well with Cooper. And whoever comes in is not going to be as good as Cooper year one, most likely. So, and by the way, I love to when the guest comes on with the numbers because me and Russ never have numbers. And I don't think Justin usually does either. So it's always nice when someone
right now, that's for
actually
sure.
has like actually has stats prepared. I love it. But we're gonna get into what we have on the sheet now. We didn't have any real news, so I put a little bit of a speculation type things, a couple items there under the news. The one is Melvin Gordon talking with the Ravens earlier this past week, and obviously some J.K. Dobbins owners getting a little worried about that. Maybe speaks a little bit to how his recovery is going. Justin, are you getting nervous about Dobbins with the way this offseason is going? And there's also been rumblings too that there was a quote, I think, from the GM, somebody in the front office saying that running back wasn't out of the question in the draft.
Bring on the chaos. I like it. I don't like it for J.K. Dobbins if Melgo goes there. I think that he's already going to be pushing it to be ready for the start of the season. So we could end up with a situation where he's coming out slow out of the gate. And maybe that's why the Ravens are interested in bringing in someone like Melvin Gordon, because they need someone early in the season. But I mean, I think I have one share of Dobbins. It's not like the end of the world for me. I was never super high on him in that offense. So let's go. Send him there. Send Melgo there and not somewhere that I have a lot of players, you know, a lot of.
Yeah, that's true. He's gonna ruin somebody's backfield because he's still out there. Unless he goes to like Atlanta, which then he'll ruin your actual team. But you know, you don't need an old running back on Atlanta.
I don't need an old running back helping us win a game. It's all he's good for is a game to actually help win.
I don't know if I want another old running back on Baltimore. I mean, they had Devonta Freeman, Latavius Murray last year. It was painful, but they were efficient.
Freeman was good.
Yeah, they were. It was better than they should have been, which is why I was kind of upset with Melvin Gordon, well, potentially going to the Ravens. I'm a big fan of Dobbins, but that concerns us for the injury, right? Like –
That was my biggest takeaway. Yeah.
That's exactly what it makes.
Like, I originally looked at it. I was like, oh, man, Gus is injured, so they'll probably cut him and bring in Melvin. And then I was like, wow, Dobbins, I forgot. You know, he might start on the pup for training camp at least. And, I'm not too concerned about that part, but the Ravens might be concerned, which is then why I have to wonder.
Yeah. Right.
But Atlanta, you said it. Atlanta's a good spot. Sorry.
No, I'm a Falcons fan. I want no talent there. I want zero talent in 2020.
He wants Bryce Young or
CJ Stroud.
I want them to be so bad this year because they hit the salary recap, like that salary reset, and they got $100 million next year. Let it ride. Just be terrible. Get a QB in the draft next year. Load up on some other peripheral players this year.
Is Kyle Pitts still your 101 at tight end? Or is he still your number one tight end? Sorry, I know it was a little aside there. I was just curious because I knew we'd get into it eventually.
For me, yeah.
Okay, that's all I want to hear right now. I want to go back
closer than most people want to admit, though.
Yeah, we'll have some more Pitts talk coming up a little bit here. We get into the trades. Going back to Javonte, Nick Martinez in the chat just said just overpaid for Javonte in a 10-team super flex. Trevor Lawrence 102, 224 seconds for Javonte, DeAndre Hopkins, and Marcus Mariota. What do you guys think of that trade, Antonio? A lot going on there.
Superflex. Yeah. T-Law 102 and 224 seconds. So right off the cuff, I would have to assume he's got a few quarterbacks that he was willing to give up T-Law to make that. 102, yeah. I would.
102 easily, could be Willis, too.
Yeah, I would take Javonte over 102. Then you're –
I definitely think it is an overpay.
Yeah, I agree with that, but you're right. T-Law is the only thing I'm looking at, but as I said, if you've got a few quarterbacks, which I'm assuming you do to take Mariota on, then I do like to trade for you. Upgrade a wide receiver with Hopkins, who I'm not worried about being just under 30, and then Javonte clears that 102 and at least a second for me.
Yeah, the key information here is a 10-team, so quarterbacks are not nearly as scarce as a 12 or 14 or, God forbid, a 16-teamer like I like to do. So,
man, if Mariota hits a ceiling, that could be what T-Law was last year.
Stop it. Mariota needs to be terrible.
That's right. No Falcons except Pitts can be good.
Look, I want to see two wins this year. As long as we beat the Saints, I'll be good. Beat them twice and go 2-15. I'll be so happy.
Where are you at on Hopkins? Is he someone, Justin, is he someone you might look to acquire just because he's so cheap now? Just he's old and I'm done with him.
If I can get him for a second, yeah. But I don't know that anybody's selling him for a second, and I'm not paying a first. No way.
Yeah,
The issue with him was he was buoyed by touchdowns last year. His efficiency with catches, even targets were down. Everything in the receiving game was down for him except for touchdowns. So getting 8 touchdowns in what was it, 10 games or whatever, I don't feel comfortable trying to – bank on that replication.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It concerns me a lot. And I feel like a lot of people are just thinking, you know, it was just he was injured last year. He's going to be great again next year. And there were signs even before the injury started popping up that, like you said, he wasn't getting quite the target share he had in the past, I think.
His season high was 87 yards, I think. He had 87, 83 another time. I was looking at it like 2 days ago, so the stats are kind of fresh.
More stats.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like you don't expect that out of a number one receiver, you know, to have two games over 80 yards,
right?
It was. So there's got to be more if you're paying a first for a 30-year-old or nearly 30-year-old wide receiver, you expect him to be, you know, good, really good. You know, Davante Adams, maybe maybe not quite that good, but somewhere on that level, you know.
Would a wide receiver one be considered good still if he still produces that one level for you? Is a first like a late first, especially with this class? I don't know how heavy you are in the class so far.
If I felt confident he was going to be a wide receiver one, then I wouldn't feel bad about it. You know, I can get 2-3 years out of him at that level, but I'm just not sure that he's going to be anything more than a mid wide receiver two-ish.
So you were right with the 87 yards. That was definitely his highest, but the 8 touchdowns in 10 games, you got to continue to look at that, right? If I'm not an ageist when it comes to elite players. For the most part,
I'm not either, but
yeah, I've got a bunch of Davante Adams.
Yeah. Well, right. So, and that's just speaking naturally, not necessarily to you both. But just overall, I was still on Julio Jones last year. Like, unfortunately I wasn't a fan of Tannehill, but I still thought Julio could be somewhat of a productive wide receiver. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. But he's the first person, and he's 32, so that's maybe where he's hitting it. But he's the first person that would probably say they've fallen off the cliff before, you know, at that 32, 31 age that we've seen a little bit with elite players. But with Hopkins, they just lost Kirk. They have Moore, who you're hoping steps up, and that's mostly going to be the slot. They don't have Edmonds, who's going to get the targets. And I don't know how much they trust James Conner to get that many targets, especially 80-plus, when you had Edmonds commanding over 60. And that's where I think if Hopkins can do that on a potentially injured season and they played as well as they did as the number one team in that first 8 weeks, if they can have that offense again, I don't see a reason why Hopkins isn't a candidate for 1250 and double-digit touchdowns, which that's going to hit that wide receiver one level. And I personally, at least as of right now, we haven't hit the draft yet. A lot can change. You give me a 107, 108, 109. I would take Hopkins over those all day. The cutoffs for me is probably 6 right now. But
so that's you're talking about you'd rather have Hopkins than Jameson Williams, Chris Olave.
So I think that's top 5. I guess I should ask, how many quarterbacks do you think is going to go top 5 this year? Like
one
in a super flex. One. Right. So that's where I'm thinking you have him. Walker might slip in.
I think Walker's a lock for the top 6. Yeah.
And so that's where I think Walker, Bryce, Williams, and then I think I'd have to say a quarterback. And then now you're battling between who the 6th spot is. And that's where we could very much figure out after holes get filled in the draft.
Yeah, I think we got Wilson and London in there as well, you know?
Yeah, London, I really hope, not to tangent onto him, I hope he really gets into a good situation with an accurate quarterback. If he can go to like somewhere like Green Bay, my God.
Well, now that let's get into a tangent. Now that you guys brought him up, but I am down on London relative to consensus. I think he's like my wide receiver, like 6 right now. I am buying. I've watched him, and I buy into the. You know, I'm not the only person to say the separation narrative. It does concern me. I worry. I said this, I think, on Junkies a week or two ago. When your greatest asset is contested catches, that concerns me in the NFL. So I'm curious. And I guess Antonio, you go first. Where you're at on London as a prospect coming in?
Yeah, so I agree with that wholeheartedly. When I said top 6, he wasn't in my top 6. And that's why I'm saying he has to go somewhere with an accurate quarterback, because exactly what you just said, contested catches his big issue. You want to say that was what Jamar Chase's big issue was and look what he did last year? Well, sorry, you probably didn't watch Jamar Chase in college. Like, that's the difference. Drake London was really good. Regardless of what USC was able to produce at the quarterback level, they still had some great games that came out of there. But London 6'4", that's what's sexy. People love size, right? And that's where I think, like I said, I think he has to hit a specific spot in order for me to say I would probably put him into the top 8 right now. I agree with you there.
And
he's not in my top 6. You know, I just did a mock with Larry and a few others on Saturday night. Right. And he wasn't in my I took Jameson Williams over him, but because I was at the 106. But I think that he will go in the top 6, which means that you're pushing the players that you like down 107, 108, 109. You know,
I agree. I want to see that in every draft I'm in that I have first round picks, because I have plenty that I don't, but because I traded them away.
I'm starting to truly believe, especially after the Rams last season, you're seeing teams become fantasy teams where, man, if I can fill certain holes and literally go all in for 1 year, I mean, unfortunately, we've seen it happen the last 2 years, right? Tampa Bay got Brady, and they won. And now we're seeing Stafford go over, and they won. So, I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence we're seeing Russell Wilson get traded, a few other quarterbacks get traded, because these teams want to – I mean, Carson Wentz got kicked 1 year. Phillip Rivers, like, Indianapolis, a fantastic team, has had a different quarterback for 3 seasons in a row now. It's
I think it's been like 5 or 6 seasons in a row.
You're right. Before, because Rivers.
Since Luck,
that's crazy. Adam, holy cow. Yeah, but that's, you know, my point. My point to that is where if you're seeing teams fill holes, that's where I think you're going to start seeing that in the draft. Like, if we're expecting a team to grab this player and they should, I think it might start happening.
Yeah, and with London, I'm not saying he's bad, but his floor just scares the hell out of me. And you're hearing a lot of London to the Jets. That does not interest me whatsoever. I do not want Zach Wilson throwing to my rookie wide receiver. So we'll move on to the next quote-unquote news item, because it's not really news. But there was a tweet that came out today. It's from Ryan Fowler at the Draft Network. So I don't know. He was pointing out that I lost the tweet. Hold on. Can confirm Washington hosted Texas A&M running back Isaiah Spiller. Commanders have now hosted Spiller, Breece Hall, and Kenneth Walker on top 30 visits. Potential day two options in the backfield. This terrifies me as an Antonio Gibson manager. Justin, I was not worried about Antonio Gibson at all, you know, before I saw this tweet. And I was pretty high on him, actually. And I don't get this at all. Is this just like them doing their homework? Do you think they actually might draft one of these guys?
Look, the communists are trying to screw us all, okay? that's just what's happening here. They hate Antonio Gibson. Something is wrong there. I don't know. They're always trying to replace him. They're like, you know what, J.D. McKissick, you're not going to the Bills. We're going to go ahead and pay you a little bit extra. Why don't you come back here and take all the third down work? And now let's go look at all these first and second, like first two, you know, two down bangers. And hey, Spiller, why don't you come and visit? Because you'll be good to take over Gibson's role as well. Like, we'll just make Gibson a special team or punt returner, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. This makes no sense to me. It's been bugging me for 2 years that he's not, like you said, not getting enough receiving work because McKissick is very good in that role.
Like everyone has said, he's a freaking converted wide receiver.
Receiver, yes.
Use the man, but
and even still, he's had over like 30 catches both years, so he hasn't been a zero in the passing game. But he could be so much more. And like you said, it was such a tease where for like 2 days we thought J.D. McKissick was a Bill, and here comes workhorse Antonio Gibson, and then they piss off the Bills by going to the agent and luring him back there. It's just a very frustrating.
Now they're gonna bring in like three more guys.
Yeah. what do you think, Antonio?
It's frustrating. I'm not a big Gibson guy myself. Was it nice to see that an opportunity was there for him? Absolutely. But Ron Rivera, back from the D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart days, the 1-2 punch. I'm wondering if that's what he consistently wants to have now. Like you said, he does get some catches. McKissick was getting a lot more catches, but led the NFL, I think, last year two seasons ago. But that was where I was really excited for him. Like you guys said, he was a former wide receiver. I don't know how much he was going to eclipse 225 in carries, but if 300 touches was on the table for him, but then durability comes to question, because what did he have, less than 100 touches, I think, in total in college? So like, if you're having a few concerns that are coming up, as people had from college, and now you're seeing someone like the coach who talks to them every single day and sees these players every day. Hopefully it's not more than just that.
Yeah, I didn't like him at all coming out of college because of that usage factor. I was pointing that out all the time the year he came out. And then I totally flipped. And now, like Justin said, Washington just hates him. So I don't think it matters anymore. High-end RB2, low-end RB1, I think, is the ceiling at this point.
Those damn communists.
I don't understand the McKissick commies. Move, though. Like, the McKissick move was super puzzling to me. One, why he went back to the Commanders, and two, why the I don't know why the Commanders, like you said, wanted him.
Like why it was so, like, yeah, to the point where they pissed off the Bill. Like, it was basically considered an underhanded move. Generally, you know, unwritten rule in any NFL that you don't, after, you know, they do that during the legal tampering period, you don't go back to the guy and try and lure him back in. And they hate Antonio Gibson so much, they insisted on doing it. So
I'm happy as a Bills fan that we didn't keep him, but yeah.
As a I didn't realize you were a Bills fan. As a Bills fan, do you think there's a chance they go with like one of the legit top three guys, or you think if they do anything, it's going to be more one of those like third round guy, you know, like a Rashad White or even lesser than that, something like that?
Yeah, it's either it's the top two in my mind. It's either Hall or Walker, or it is. I'm waiting till the end again. I don't think they're going to want to go what they did with Moss in the third, Singletary in the third, and then someone's not working out. Gore comes in. Gore didn't work. Like Frank Gore comes in. Frank Gore didn't work out at all. So I think that I personally want them to solidify that spot. I think that is the biggest need the Bills are missing. Well, besides a wide receiver, but I'm expecting that. You know, I love Jamison Crowder. We can get into that one. Extremely underrated. Why don't we add that? That's something I would love to talk about, is Jamison Crowder, not as a Buffalo Homer fan. But yeah, if you give a running back there, Josh Allen gets comfortable. He can't get comfortable. And they're just getting sick and tired of having him. Was 120 rushes, I think he had last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a little bit insane. I'm not worried he's going to get hurt with that body, because we still have a few more years that I'm hoping he'll take it back. But Diggs getting signed and extended was great. It's a move they had to make, and the only one left is getting a running back. And
this feels like a lot of Devin Singletary slander right here. I'm just saying.
Oh, dude, I hate him. I hate him.
you have a lot of Devin Singletary shares, Justin?
I might have. I love him. I think he's a good player.
But, if I'm being honest with you, I really wanted the Bills to trade for Barkley the second that Dable went there. I think that is exactly CMC and Barkley. Those were the two guys I was really hoping the Bills would make a move for during the offseason, because I just feel like I'm getting sick of, and I hate saying that as a Bills fan who hasn't had winning in my past, but I just want to get there. And I think that Mahomes and Allen is the Manning and Brady matchup. And unfortunately, I think Mahomes is Brady. So that's why the Bills have to capitalize when that opportunity is there. And you got to go all in. And I think they're smart at the GM level, where they can pay people the right way. And what do you do best? You do what Kansas City just did. They drafted a running back in the first round so they can get 5 years on a contract for him. They drafted the wrong running back.
Right.
But they made
Jonathan Taylor was there.
Oh my. But that's what I don't want to say.
So what you're saying is they're about to draft Rashad White at the end of the first.
If it's not a wide receiver or running back, I'm going to be livid, because there's no reason it should be a cornerback. There's no reason it should be a tackle. And I know that's not part of this, but it should be a running back or a wide receiver. And that player will immediately be a top five pick in any rookie draft.
Yes. And that's, I haven't heard a lot about the Bills going for running back, but it seems like such an obvious move in one of these first two. I mean, you could even get, probably not at their pick with Walker, but Walker you could be gotten in the second round with a trade up. Brees is probably going in the early second round, and Spiller you could certainly get in the second round. Maybe, I don't know if you get maybe even with their late, you know, whatever the third round pick is down in the late part of the third. So I don't see why they wouldn't go for running back. They see, I don't know the ins and outs of the Bills defense, but I know it's been pretty good. So it doesn't seem like they have a ton of holes to fill. It just seems so obvious to me, but you haven't heard much news about them looking at
it. No, they added some decent free agents this year on the defensive side. So, like, running back really is, like, the glaring weakness.
Yeah, cornerback's the biggest hole on defense. It's a very deep cornerback class. We're hearing that. But we've also been – the Bills have been rumored to be in trade talks for a few cornerbacks. Again, the, you know, Giants being one of them. But to Singletary real quick, to anybody, you know, Singletary owners out there, I'm not trying to really worry you and scare you, but I'm going to be honest, as a Bills fan, he's never going to be that workload running back. He will never be the, what, RB2 or RB3 he was the last 5 weeks of the season. That is not going to continue. The offensive line got themselves together, which was very helpful. Not something that Singletary can continue to do all season. So if you can get a late first for Singletary right now, I really highly doubt it. More like a second, but you probably have to wait until the draft for something.
Yeah, I think I got him for 202, or I sold him for 202 in a TA league, and I was pretty happy with that.
I think Singletary is going to become, he's going to have a career just like another, his backfield mate now, Duke Johnson. Like, he flashes, he actually has a solid season, and coaches never trust him. And even though every time he touches the ball, he's been good, they still try to replace him. Just drives me nuts.
That's another good example.
Duke forever. It was like free Duke Johnson.
Yeah,
exactly. and that's a good – and we can – I'll stop us on Singletary after that. If I know I'm going a while on him, sorry. But do you think about as a Singletary owner, they only added Duke Johnson. They went from McKissick, who was an amazing pass-catching running back, which has been their biggest need, to that Duke Johnson, who he had a lot of catches. What was it, 2018, I think, with the Browns? Had over 50. But
yeah, like 80-something.
Was it that high? I know he was one of the
crazy
top
high
pass catchers. But are they going to – I mean, that was Duke Johnson, you know, 3-4 years ago. I'm wondering if that means they are adding another piece.
He caught 74 is what it was.
Jesus. 74. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, maybe you know better. You know, probably know better than me, but I've heard talk, too, that Zach Moss isn't even a lock to make the team this year.
I will be honest. I was a fan of Moss. Thought he could have been that Frank Gore. That wasn't Frank Gore. Frank Gore got so many carries inside the five. Singletary could not do a thing inside the five. And that's where I was like, all right, Moss can come in, get himself 800 to 1,000 total yards and 10 touchdowns. That's great. Nope.
Okay, so enough Bills talk. We'll move on to the trades and listener questions. We got a little bit of each. Like I said, a little lighter. No outhouse challenge by anybody this week. So the trades came down a little bit. But Antonio, we usually let the guests choose. You want to do the listener questions first or the trades first?
So I would like to start with listener questions.
Okay, first one comes from our buddy in TA10 at Fantasy Hockey Trades. What kind of regression? Well, I'll read the whole thing and then we'll go through it. What kind of regression should we expect from Chase? Can Javonte be a top 10 RB next season if Melgo does go? And what is everyone's go-to order at a Mexican restaurant? Drink and meal. Cadillac margarita and al pastor tacos for me. We'll take the last one first to get it out of the way, because as the king of horrible food takes, I don't eat Mexican, so I'm going to let you two go.
Holy crap.
I don't know if I've ever stepped foot in a Mexican restaurant.
Antonio, you want to log off and we'll start our own pod?
Because he said something that made me.
I said I was like king of horrible food takes.
No. What you said was you've never stepped foot in a Mexican restaurant. So there's a difference from saying I don't eat it and I've never had a chance to eat it. So once you eat it, your life will be changed.
I'm not a taco.
I'm gonna start. I'm gonna convince
tacos, but I don't think I've ever actually gone out to eat Mexican.
How about a burrito? It's called a chimichanga. All right, it's got a great.
I know
name.
What it is.
Yeah, man. Like, you get yourself a nice fried burrito. That's a chimichanga. You get some fantastic queso, some beautiful rice and potatoes. Oh, my God. Like, that's my Mexican meal right there. Obviously, margarita, always frozen, never on the rocks. I drink it way too quick on the rocks.
See, I'm a margarita on the rocks. No salt, because I don't need salt. I just want the booze.
Amen. Amen.
And chimichanga is my go-to when I'm just feeling like casual. Molcajete. Get you the stone bowl, meat and stuff flailing over the side. It's so good. Like, if you like fajitas, you can up your game with a mojito thing. It's so much better.
I do like a Corona. Does that count? Do the drink part.
You hit the cerveza.
Yeah, they get that from the bathroom. So
no, but Mexican is Mexican or pizza. That's usually the go-to. My wife and I are like, all right, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah, we're big on head to the Mexican restaurant for some queso dip and chips and salsa. My daughter's like, chips and salsa, chips and salsa. And she'll walk in the restaurant, chips and salsa, chips and salsa.
Okay, so we'll get into his football questions. I guess we sort of talked about this. Could Javonte be a top 10 running back next season? And Mogo goes, I think that's pretty obvious. Yes,
yeah.
Correct. I don't even know if we really need to dive into that one too much.
I think given health, it's basically a lock.
I do too. If Melvin Gordon's gone, even if they bring another running back in, right, unless it's like, Kenneth Walker or something, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, if Melgo's not there, I expect Javonte to have 65, 70 targets to go with a hefty amount of carries. That's plenty.
You know, and we saw one game without Melvin Gordon last year, and he scored like 30-plus points.
I think he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and the big thing, too, with Melvin Gordon, he had his just under his highest yards per carry. Like a guy who's always never was able to get over four with the Chargers, last 2 years over 4.5. That is what I love about what you're going to see with Javonte. Now you add a mobile quarterback, another threat for them. I think the question is, can you see him being top five? Like top 10 is, yeah, like you guys said, it is. You're, yeah, right. It's almost near a lock for him. I don't think there's anything that can go wrong. And the fact that Gordon's having the conversations with other teams, bye-bye Broncos.
And I think he is top five if Melvin's not there, especially. So, I mean, you can't be underestimated, the addition of Russell Wilson. That's just going to lead to so much more touchdown opportunities. And like you said, without Melvin, he'll have more opportunities in the passing game, most likely. It's just, I don't want to say lock, but I think top five, given health, is very likely if he's, yeah, the only one there of note.
Let me ask you this. One more. Well, he got 80% catch rate. That was the highest among rookies who had at least 40 targets. So, I mean, he was fantastic in that. You know he's going to get the ball. Russell Wilson may not throw the ball too often, the running backs, as we've seen, but he doesn't throw the ball a lot in general. Is that going to change? Do you see an approach for the Broncos where they're going to start throwing the ball more? Or do we still think it might balance a little bit where he hits over his – maybe if he hits 600 attempts, which was the average last year, by the way, if he hits 600 attempts, that's a career high, like blowing it out for Russell Wilson. So if he does that, that still leaves – there's almost 1,050 plays is the average now with the 17 games in there for a team. So that leaves naturally 450 attempts on the rushing. Like, he's going to get the ball. They have to bring someone else there. But that's where I'm saying, minus that, you know, knock on wood for an injury, touches are coming. Right.
Give him 250, 270 carries and 70 targets or so. I'm super happy.
Who is it? Monte Ball. He got a lot of workload with John Elway.
There's a blast from the past. There's so much.
Philip Lindsay got a lot of carries. And then you saw, I mean, they had, what, four running backs they were chugging through. They just wanted to find the one.
Yeah, and I think the pass attempts are going to go. I mean, you don't bring in Russell Wilson to run the ball 50% of the time. So,
because Pete Carroll's not coaching in Denver, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Double checking. I haven't looked lately to see if there's any news.
And it's an offensive-minded person, which is great. I mean, Carroll claims to go that route, but we haven't seen much.
Yeah, but even if they're passing more, if like I said, if Melvin Gordon's gone and I don't really think there even is another vet that anybody would worry about that's still available at this point. So
Todd Gurley, the
Tariq Cohen. Todd Gurley. Honestly, Tariq Cohen, I've been waiting to see somebody grab him, but I think he would be a good change of pace for.
Yeah, that wouldn't worry me.
Right, exactly. He's that's what I'm saying.
Tariq Cohen's like the least efficient running back of the last 15 years.
Just catch the ball, baby.
Yeah, but it's all for 4.5 yards. Yeah. Like, it's terrible. That year he had so many catches, I think he literally averaged 6.5 yards a catch.
Yeah, he didn't even touch 500 yards, and I believe it was 70-something catches.
Yeah. It was so awful.
And then the other part of his question, we've kind of worked backwards, was what kind of regression should we expect from Chase? So – I mean, Chase was extremely efficient last year. A lot of big plays, a lot of touchdowns. What do you think, Justin? Or what are we looking at in 2022?
I don't know why we're expecting regression. Is that something that you guys are expecting? Because I don't know that it is. I think he may get a few more targets given that he's more experienced, another year in the league. He may earn a few more targets. He may get a little less efficient with his catches, you know. But I don't know that it means that he's going to regress for fantasy. I mean, does he have to get 18 yards a catch again? I don't think so. But say he gets another 15 targets and, you know, he averages 15.5 yards a catch, 16 yards a catch, which is perfectly reasonable. You're still looking at as good a season.
Yeah, I guess that's what he's saying. It's just he had so many big plays, so many high yards per catch, and 13 touchdowns on 81 catches, I think, is a little bit high. But, I mean, that's offense is going to produce, and he's a guy they're going to look to in the red zone, and he can score from anywhere on the field. So I think he could be one of those guys that kind of just generally produces high touchdown counts year after year. It maybe is a little more sticky with Chase than it is than you normally would expect from a receiver, kind of like Davante Adams, something like that. What do you think, Antonio?
Yeah, if you're going to get regression, you guys have said it all right. If you're getting regression, it is not coming from Ja'Marr Chase. It is coming from Joe Burrow. It is because Joe Burrow didn't keep his outlandish. I mean, he had a great pace for what he was on last year. He was super efficient. His touchdown percentage was crazy. So that's the only thing that you need to hope stays up. But they're forgetting that he added Ja'Marr Chase. You know, you said, I don't know why we think that he's going to regress at all. 18 yards a catch, fine. You want to put him at 16? That's still going to lead the NFL by a whole yards per catch from the next closest wide receiver, which was Mike Williams. I mean, I'm discounting Deebo Samuel, who actually had more 18.1 yards per reception, but I want to say 12 yards of that was probably after catch. So that's where you have to look at that a little bit farther to realize. But honestly, Ja'Marr should have had 20 touchdowns, guys. I watched too many Bengals games and how many times Ja'Marr Chase was open and it was, nope, I'm checking down to Boyd. Or, no, I'm going to try and take a shot over to Higgins. That's the only issue you really have, is because there's so much talent. Will Burrow continue to go there? But he's not seeing elite targets. That's the thing. He's not seeing elite targets because he's only getting 130. Yeah, that sounds like a lot to you, but elite's over 150.
You know what Antonio just said? Antonio just said that Joe Burrow sucks and he's checking down too much. That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Never mean that negatively. But that offense is great. You know, right? That offense is great. And I can't see Ja'Marr not hitting double digits every year. And I can't see an opportunity for 100 yards every single game.
I was just going to say, I think you did make a great point, though, in there. And Justin kind of hit on it a little bit. Is that I do think Burrow is maybe a little overrated. I think you might be on this train, too, Justin, that he was.
So for fantasy purposes.
I'm talking about.
I'm the conductor, the engineer, I'm the mechanic at the end of the rail. I am leading the Burrow is overrated for fantasy.
Yeah, because I mean, I think he's a lot of people's like QB4 at this point. Ridiculous. It's like Mahomes, whatever. Allen, Herbert, and yeah, I was blanking for a second, Herbert. And then for a lot of people, it's Burrow, which is just insane to me. So tell them why they're wrong, Justin.
Well, because for the first 15 games of the year, he was QB11 or something like that, QB10. He had two ridiculous outlier games that floated his stats up into QB5 or 6 range or whatever it was. He's an 18.5 point a game guy. I mean, that's just what he has been. If you look at what he did after those two blow-up games, you go to the playoffs and he averaged a little bit more than 17 points a game. That is what he is. He's not that. He's not the 22 point a game that you got from the end of season stats, because if you look at the end of the season stats, you're like, oh yeah, he threw for, you know, 4,400 yards and 36 touchdowns, whatever it was.
Yeah, hell, like 1,000 of those yards. Yeah,
1,000 of that came in two games and 8 of those touchdowns. Like, come on, guys, this is, you know, law of averages says that he's not doing that every season. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously room for improvement there, but yeah, I'm not willing to make the leap to he's QB4. It's just like you said, and even going, I mean, he was a rookie, but going back to his rookie year, he had done, you know,
he wasn't like 18.2.
Yeah, it was very similar. So yeah, it's not like he was very good for a rookie, but he wasn't like he was Herbert like rookie year where he was.
The one thing that the Bengals don't do is they still don't pass at a high rate. Like, what do you have, 550 something attempts this year, something like that?
520.
That's
he's 16th per game.
Right. They don't want to run the ball, or they don't want to throw the ball that much. Even with an offense with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, they still didn't want to throw the ball a lot. So,
hey, you got Joe Mixon, though, and that's the problem, too. Yeah, they're super elite. And here's one thing, Mahomes' 5,000 yard passing season, he had 8.8 yards per attempt.
Right.
Last year, 8.9 was Joe Burrow. Like, so he was higher than Mahomes, and Mahomes hasn't even sniffed that since. 8.3 was the highest, and it was the year after that. His touchdown rate, 11.2% from Mahomes, 15.2% for Burrow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, I did that number wrong, but it was still higher than what Mahomes was for his 50 touchdown season.
Right, right. Okay, so we'll move on to the other listener question we have, which is from at Noob Engineer, who is very good. He submits questions, I think, like every other week, so appreciate it. Says, I have Etienne and Judy on a team, and I'm strongly considering packaging and moving. What is the highest pick in a single QB league you think is worth that move? 101 gettable? I feel it's not. Should I hold one and not the other? Full PPR, and I'm looking to repeat. Thanks. I have very much bias on these two players, so I'm going to let you guys go first. Justin, why don't you start off with that one?
Do I think it could work sending ETN and Judy? Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't sell the 101 for that. I wouldn't sell Breece Hall for ETN and Judy. And I like both of those players. I like Judy more than most. But I think that there may be some hype. You know, maybe you should have done it right after Russell Wilson was traded, and there was all kinds of hype on Judy. But I think it's something that could work. I'm not sure that it would work. And beyond that, like, am I moving that for the 102? Probably not. Because in a 1QB, I'm looking at trying to take, you know, Walker or Garrett Wilson. And I think that at this point, you're consolidating for lesser players. So.
And I'll chime in. I don't. So I'm not, but I'm very much lower on Judy than the consensus. So I'm probably way lower on Judy than you are, since you just said you're higher on
him. And I know you hate ETN.
Yeah, so. I don't hate ETN. I just don't like him very much.
Stop trying to sugarcoat it, Rocky. You hated ETN ever since you learned his name.
Yeah, he was my RB3 coming out last year. Missing a year doesn't help. I think having Doug, not that I expected ETN to ever be a workhorse, but having Doug Peterson as your coach probably doesn't help. If James Robinson is healthy at all, which is obviously a humongous question mark, but if he's able to play and play halfway decent coming off an Achilles, I mean, we saw Akers do it in 4 months. Maybe Robinson can do it in 8 and at least.
Yeah, but Akers wasn't good.
Well, that's true.
Till the end, till the last few games, it started coming on.
He was not good in the Super Bowl.
No, I'm talking about he wasn't good after coming back from that injury. He was rough.
But yeah, but if Robinson can be mixed in there, he will be, because that's what Doug likes to do. So you're basically banking on ETN, I think, getting a humongous reception share there, and to be super fantasy relevant. I think his ceiling is somewhere like mid RB2. That's why I don't like him. He's just a guy to me. But anyway, Antonio, on this question here.
Yeah, I'm gonna cause our friend Noob Engineer here to have conundrums, because I'm opposite both of you. Well, not with the 101. I think it's doable. That's where I would come in. I'm curious to hear your not so high on Judy reasoning. But when it comes to Etienne, the thing I loved was Peterson said it's Etienne's job to lose. So you already know I think they're trying to shop Robinson. I really do. I have a feeling they're going to have to bring somebody else in, because like we said, his injury is not going to be there. And then Etienne's going to take off and Robinson's never going to get, you know, talked about again. I personally think a time would be to remove Robinson. But besides that, it's also a time to be buying Etienne. With this one, you got to be patient though. That's my number one rule in trading, is patience. You need to have it here, because that 101's, every day we get closer to the draft, it gets higher. The value gets higher. So you have to tell yourself, we already probably know who the 101 is. Like, there aren't many things I believe that are going to stop Hall or Walker. It's going to be a running back. I mean, unless we're going to see something crazy coming with a wide receiver, like, you know, Kansas City filling a need, Green Bay filling that, or Buffalo. But, you know, with that being said, I like Etienne. I think he has an opportunity wholeheartedly for an RB1, because Peterson is very good with running backs. I love Miles Sanders. I hate he never let him go, but that's my comparison for Etienne, is Miles Sanders. Like, that's who I think.
Miles Sanders was an eternal disappointment.
But that wasn't Miles Sanders' fault. That was the only reason Miles
Sanders. I agree with that, but Doug Peterson is ETN's coach.
The only reason Miles Sanders has not been as good as we wanted him to is because of injuries. When he's touched the ball, he's been ridiculous.
Yep.
But even when he was touching the ball, Peterson wasn't giving it to him enough.
Yeah, the touchdown. He had too many touchdowns vultured. He was not was throwing the ball not, enough.
It was literally not the touches. It was the touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's right. Why I think
a lot of times he'd throw Darren Sproles in there near the goal line. Like, it was insane. Yeah. And how do we know he's not going to do that? I don't even know who their third string running back is, but maybe he's going to get goal line touches for all we know.
There's a possibility that he could, but I believe buying into Lawrence. If you're buying in Lawrence and you're saying Etienne's the guy, I think you're buying into both of them there. They bring in Christian Kirk. It's going to be helpful, especially to stretch the field, which will allow Etienne. You want to bring Robinson in though. Etienne can still play the slot like that. That's even better too.
I was just gonna say, and that's the other thing though, is you kind of do need to buy into Lawrence to buy into Etienne, and that's still very questionable at this point too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we loved him and I loved him coming out. He was the best prospect in the draft, but he was garbage last year. He had 12 touchdowns for the entire season, played every game. I mean, he was real, as much as I rip on Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence was just as bad. I just liked Trevor Lawrence more initially, but yeah. So I just, you're depending on that offense to take a major step, and you're depending on Doug Peterson to give him the ball enough. Like, I get that you don't expect Etienne to be – nobody expected Etienne to be a workhorse coming in. But I still think to really pay off, he's got to get more work than I think he's going to get.
Yeah, and that's very fair, and that's where exactly it comes out. So I think it's going to be a little higher. And as far as Judy, the guy led the league in air yards 2 years ago. You know, they were slinging that ball in the Broncos territory, and I think that they're going to continue to do that with Russ. We saw Doug Baldwin get 15 yards or 15 touchdowns. What was it, in 2016, with a high yards per reception? We see Lockett do it. We're seeing Metcalf do it. That's why I believe heavily in Judy. And I think Judy takes a massive leap this year.
And my thing with Judy is he's just never performed very well for fantasy on the field. And I get the quarterback argument, but at the same time, Courtland Sutton has produced. He was trash the second half of last year. I will give you that. But Courtland Sutton in the first half of last year had better games than Judy had in like his entire career, his 2 year career. And Judy had a whole season without Sutton last year to do that too, with similar quarterbacking, and did not do it. I looked at one of the rare times I actually did research before. I looked it up. I don't remember the exact numbers, but Judy has like two or three 20 plus games in his 2 year career. And Sutton had that just in like the first eight games last year or something like that. And Sutton performed very well 2 years, or well, I guess you would call it 3 years ago, 2019, performed pretty well too. But again, they did not, like, they had a good quarterback in 2019 either. So
what is it? When Judy and Sutton have been on the field at the same time, Sutton has outscored him like once.
Oh, yeah, and I get that, but Judy hasn't exactly taken off either when they're on the field at the same time.
No, he hasn't. You're right.
I believe it was 48% catchable thrown balls last year for Jerry Judy, and it was one of the lowest in the league.
Wow. Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you're bringing in a super accurate and efficient quarterback. Wilson has a massive high touchdown rate.
What was Courtland Sutton's catchable thrown balls, though? And he had multiple 20-point games while Judy was out.
I like them both, but we're also watching Russell Wilson come from a system where he just produced top 13 wide receivers 2 years ago with Lockett and Metcalf, and Lockett is, 28. I really think you are taking Russell Wilson and you are putting him in the exact same position he was in 5 years ago in Seattle. Like, take everybody 5 years younger and you give him Marshawn Lynch when he was still doing really well. So he has a run game. He has a two young deep threats. And that's where I was telling you before the show, I want to talk about Russell Wilson, how low his ADP is, and it should be a lot higher, right? But that's why I believe in Judy. And I don't know if you can believe in Russell Wilson without believing in both Sutton and Judy now that Noah Fant's gone.
Look, I just pulled up Judy's player profiler just out of curiosity, because everyone always talks about separation, and he was number 4 in the league in separation versus man coverage last year.
Amazing route runner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you couple the route running with an actual quarterback and not some bum off the street that they've been trying to run out there.
Rocky, I feel like you're more pro Sutton.
I am more pro Sutton than anti Judy, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
I have to see it to believe. Like, Jerry Judy, wide receiver 1, I have to see that before I believe yeah. it will happen. He just hasn't shown enough to me in his first 2 years, even with all the stuff stacked against him. I get it. I still would have liked to seen a little more than we've gotten. He's basically been like a guy who gets like 13 points if you're lucky every game. So,
would you,
even with bad quarterbacking, I would expect a little more boom games than he's had.
That's so. Would you rather have Judy or Deebo Samuel?
Oh, I'd easily I know you're talking Deebo Samuel.
Really? I know you're talking about you selling. We're talking about possibly selling Deebo. I don't know. That's yeah. I know you're saying easily like that. For me, I'd have rather have Judy than Samuel.
You I would rather about have regression.
Samuel. I am.
You know, Deebo was like Deebo. The wide receiver three last year, right?
Yeah. So
he also had more rushing touchdowns than receiving touchdowns.
However, he also was balling out as a receiver in the first yeah. eight games before they started doing that rushing.
Receiving, like 1,405 yards receiving. So it's
and,
not it, like
and it's didn't. So much yards after catch. He leads the league in yards after catch by like 4 yards. He's
that's
amazing.
The kind of guy he is. Yeah.
I was going to say Judy's he might also, be that kind of guy.
Judy's see, also there too, and Judy doesn't have a rookie.
But honestly, now that you said it, though, I mean, Deebo had. Nobody expected that from Deebo last year. Judy could easily make that same kind of jump because he has the quarterback now.
The only thing about that, okay, if I start with, and you know, obviously I think Judy's worth more than 10 cents, but if I start with ten cents and I start with a dollar and the dollar loses 25 cents of value and the dime gains 25 cents of value, one's still worth 75 and one's still worth 45 cents. You know, like Judy's going to need a lot more than just one season to really make a leap. If Deebo comes out and has 1,300 total yards next year, he had 1,770 this year, by the way. If he has 1,200 or 1,300 yards and, say, 8 total touchdowns, I don't think that he's losing value. You know, certainly not to the point that, you know, we're talking about dropping a ton. I think there's regression coming in his production in 2022, but I don't think it means that he's going to all of a sudden be a wide receiver three. You know?
Yeah. My only worry with Deebo is Lance. I mean, we don't know what the offense looks like at Lance at quarterback. And I do believe Lance will be the quarterback. I know there's been whispers that, you know, maybe he's not the starter. He's going to be the starter.
He's going to start.
I just think Deebo had a perfect storm. I really do. That last season, again, we talked about peak players before the show. That was Deebo's my peak player. And especially because he's going to be going to 26, I believe. Kittle was up and down with injuries. Brandon Ayuk did not take any step we were hoping for. Running backs galore again in San Francisco. I just think everything centralized and was so perfect for Deebo. That what if Elijah Mitchell shows up like we're talking about? What if they draft another running back and now Deebo potentially loses 25% of his carries and 3 or 4 touchdowns? And I can't depend on a running back getting rushing touchdowns.
So his in and out splits with Mitchell. He averaged 22.1 PPR points with Elijah Mitchell, and he averaged 20.4 without. So he actually averaged more points with Mitchell in the lineup.
And with Deebo, it was almost like right at the middle of the season that they really started doing the whole putting him at running back kind of thing. He had I think he only had like 3 to 6 touches out of the backfield prior to that. But if you look at his touches, you know, or his targets plus rushes over the first half and over the second half, it's almost the exact same. It's just that the receptions and targets were way up over the first half of the season. And he obviously got a lot more touches out of the backfield in the second half of the season. Right. So to me, that speaks to we just want to get the ball in Deebo's hands however we can. And that's – I just think if Elijah Mitchell's running the ball more, it just means that Deebo's going to get more catches or he's going to get more targets. So
I think I'd be happier if he wasn't getting as many carries. You know, I don't want the conversion to happen where he's getting instead of 17 targets. I mean, instead of 7 or 8 targets, he's getting 5 targets and 3 carries. You know, I'd much rather see, you know, give him 8, 9 targets and 1 carry or no carries for all I care. Just let him run routes out there because that's where the points are. That's where he's going to score points. And it's not rushing the ball, you know, outside touchdowns.
Yeah. I know you wanted to talk. I know you said we should try and talk. I can ramble, man. I can ramble.
Hey, if you have anything else you want to say about Debo, go ahead, and then we can move on to the trades.
Just the last thing is target share. George Kittle commands almost 10 targets a game. In that offense at times, 8 to 10 targets. I don't know if I can see Kittle and Debo getting 8 to 10 targets. Now you're talking almost 60. I mean, I don't expect him to throw more than 35 times a game. That would be a lot to me. Yeah. So to allocate 18 to 20 targets to those two guys, very doable because they have not many other options, but that's just where I get. Yeah. And it makes sense. I know I've had a few hot takes today with some wide receivers, but I'm definitely into the youth taking some big steps this year.
You know, Kittle has in the past commanded a big target share, but with Debo's emergence, he was under seven targets a game this year. I think there could be something to that.
Yeah, if he was all fully healthy, I hope. I don't know how many games he could have been banged up, but that's the big thing.
Kittle
he
used to play all 17.
I know.
That's really true. Is anybody ever? That's true.
Especially Kittle.
He plays hard, man.
He's ridiculous.
My goodness. Protect yourself and just go out there and be Travis Kelce and don't block anybody.
I don't know if you guys are golf fans at all, but Cam Jones over the weekend, like just his persona, his outlook, he just doesn't remind you of a golfer. And then you look at George Kittle and it's like, man, that dude does not remind me of a football player. It's so great.
Okay, so we'll get into the trades now. We got five trades. We'll get into here. Just a reminder, TA leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium with 0.05 for return yards, except TA1, and we actually have two TA1 trades, so it's semi-relevant here. The first one we got, and this is right up my alley, Matt Ryan and Devontae Smith for Zach Wilson.
Did you make this trade?
I did.
Did you give Zach Wilson for your two guys?
I did not. I am in TA1, but I did not. I believe this was actually Russ, and I think I remember which side he got. So I'll let you guys comment on it, and I'll tell you which side.
Go ahead, Antonio.
I think the value has to say it's a pretty close trade. I'm not a Wilson believer, so, and I'm a Devonta Smith believer. So I'm gonna be honest. Matt Ryan is just a throw-in at that point for me, because I also believe in what Matt Ryan can do to help. You know, he's not going to be a world beater, but in a super flex, he can be a very, very good 15, 16 overall quarterback. And be consistent with it. You know, I don't think 25 to 28 touchdowns is unattainable. But Devonta Smith, another player, we just continue to hammer those young wide receivers. He's going to take a leap this year. I think Philly is going all in, as much as the Jets are going all in. Unfortunately, the Jets did nothing in free agency, like literally nothing that's going to help out Zach Wilson. So I didn't like what I saw last year or what was going, you know, even in the draft. So I do like the Matt Ryan, Devonta Smith side. I understand the value, though.
I'm taking the Matt Ryan, Devonta Smith side so easily. And I'm not a Devonta Smith believer, but I think that Matt Ryan has just as many relevant seasons as Zach Wilson before Zach Wilson becomes a backup.
More.
And yeah, right, exactly. Like, and I'm going to get way more out of Devonta Smith in a trade than I would, you know, and still have a productive quarterback.
I mean, I think what you said there is actually pretty relevant. Like, do you think – I don't even necessarily think it's a given that he gets his whole four-year rookie contract. I mean, maybe I'm just too much
Which
of a
be
hater,
a fifth.
I mean, yeah. I, this is three people that don't like Zach Wilson right here, so I don't have to be much argument, clearly.
Yeah.
And I'm a Bills fan, so, like, I have to hate him, I guess.
I'm obviously on the Ryan Smith side, but were you going to say, Antonio?
I was going to say just Jameson Crowder, like, letting him go – that was his biggest safety blanket. Like, anytime you needed some help or a bailout, Jameson Crowder was going to be your guy. They didn't utilize him properly throughout the whole season, and Braxton Berrios started coming in. But, you know, it's not Corey Davis, you know? It's not Corey Davis.
So yeah. You're not a believer in Conklin and Uzomah, huh?
Man, I
that's all they did.
We saw what Tyler Kroft did last year.
Right, that's basically all they did in free agency. It's pitiful.
Man, you should have seen me, though. I was a big Chris Herndon fan. Oh,
I think everybody was.
Yeah, I messed a lot in him too much.
I took him in redraft a couple times. That's how bad I was about this. What a sucker I was.
We all know. I really do hate Zach. Some of these guys that I get accused of hating, I don't really hate. I don't hate the man, but I sports hate Zach Wilson. There's nothing I like about him. I do not think he's going to succeed. I said it the second he was drafted. I thought it was ridiculous that they took him at 2 over some of the other guys available. So this is pretty easy for me. I, like you said, I think Ryan's going to be just relevant just as long as Wilson is. And I am not just because I'm an Eagles fan, because I actually tend to be more pessimistic on Eagles guys, but I'm a believer in Smith. I think he played pretty well given the quarterbacking he had. So, Antonio, did you have something else you wanted to say there before we go to the next one?
Yeah. How high of a first round pick this year would you pay for Devonta Smith?
I would take Smith. Oof, I'd probably go 104. Maybe 103. I mean, he might be my wide receiver 1 if he was in this class.
I would heavily agree with that statement. The reason why I was asking was because the next question would be, how high would you go for Zach Wilson? You know,
that's not 103 or
104. Right. And that's what then you get the Matt Ryan part to all of that. And that's what you have to ask yourself, especially right now, come draft time. That's how you can value everything, is based on those first round picks. How high would you go for X, and how high would you go for Y?
But Justin was shaking his head when I said 103.
I'm not going 103, 104 for Devontae Smith.
Where would you put him then?
Well, I mean, I've used this a million times, but I am running the Boston Marathon on Monday. I'm 6 foot, 172. I'm bigger than Devontae Smith. I'm running a marathon and he's getting hit by, you know, safeties. I don't know, man.
Not seriously. I think he might have had a
nagging. I understand he didn't get injured, but that doesn't mean he won't get injured. That's tremendously undersized. And
he had 1,000 yards, just under 1,000 yards in his rookie season with mediocre quarterbacking.
It's a 7, and great separation. The mediocre quarterback isn't going anywhere right now either. So
not for 22, but the dynasty is not redraft.
Yeah, but then you're talking about bringing in a rookie, likely. So you're already
behind. Yeah, I think we saw a few games near the end, the last half of the season, that Smith elevated Hurts. And that's where I think we're going to continue to get that kind of play. Like I said, he was good at separation too, and fantastic at route running. That's you just got to have a quarterback who can get the ball there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't agree with any of that. I just don't know what the longevity of a 165-pound wide receiver is in the NFL, because we've never seen it. We literally have never seen a wide receiver that size have a career in the NFL. Not that weight. It's 6.
But we have seen tiny, like Moss wasn't built like crazy. Right, Jerry Rice wasn't built like crazy, but they're very fast and they're very big. He's still extremely light.
This is not 5'10", 165. This is a full 6'1", 165. Like
the fear dude is
tall and skinny.
Yeah, like he can't get more than like 180 for his career, probably. Like that, you're right. Like he can't put on more than maybe 15 pounds, and that's going to be way too much for a wide receiver.
That video last year in training camp where his legs were like this pin.
Yeah, he had the chicken legs. Yeah,
It was like this. Like there's Devonta Smith, and there's his leg down there, like walking around.
Listening, Justin has like a pen up to next to his hand. So.
And it very was
terrible, thin pen.
And people were like, he's like the guy at the gym that has a really big upper body, and then you just see his legs, and that's what he's like.
He skipped the gym altogether. But
I don't worry that much about the BMI argument. He remained largely healthy in college and performed well. He remained largely healthy in his first season and performed well. I'll worry about that when it happens. Other than that, I'm just going to believe in the player and what I see on the field, and what I see on the field has been pretty good.
What was it? Marvin Harrison. He was 180. Yeah, that's who I would think of. When you think of really skinny,
yeah, but 180 is
I know
different than 165 at 60.
No, I know that's what I'm saying. Like that's why I was saying 10 to 15 more pounds is what he would need. But
how much would that affect 10 pounds on from here at my, you know, trying to go run right now, it's an entirely different world,
dude. I'll transfer you 10 pounds pretty easily.
I would too. 10 pounds is nothing for me.
Is a whole lot different than 10 or 15 pounds on 165, dude.
Overnight,
you're talking about a 10% weight gain. It's insane.
Okay, so we'll get into the other TA1 trade. And In defense of one of these guys, he actually said after he made the trade that he thought he was getting the side he was sending. So we're still going to talk about it anyway, though. But this likely would not have been accepted had he realized. I always think that's amazing, though. Like, I'm in 30-plus leagues. I never accidentally accept a trade because I think I have the side that I'm sending away or whatever. So, have you ever done that, Justin?
I have not. I don't know how it happens. I got nothing.
If it was on NFL,
he's not the first person I've heard say that either. Like, oh, I thought I had X, and
well, Shane does it all the time. Shane's like, I thought I was getting such and such.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I've heard multiple of these, and it boggles my mind every time I hear it.
Well, I'm like, right? Isn't it NFL? They don't have that. Once you hit it, are you sure you want to do it? Like, I know sleeper.
No, they do that on NFL.
Does NFL have that?
Yeah,
now?
Okay, NFL does it too.
I thought someone didn't have it, and that's
and
right.
I think it has a little pop up that says, are you sure you want to accept this trade or something like
and
that?
It's a double one. Are you really sure?
But anyway, what the trade ended up being was this is a lot going on here. Chase Claypool, Kadarius Toney, Cole Kmet, James Washington for 106 and 107. And you might be able to guess which guy thought he had which side, but. Justin, what are your thoughts on this one?
Man, I feel bad for the guy who gave up the 106 and 107 for all
yeah.
that.
he thought he had the players and was getting the 106 and 107.
You know, this person might be in the chat right now. There,
I was going to say, are they listening?
Oh, yes, he is. I didn't even notice that. It is Eric.
He posted that question 25 minutes ago. Probably knowing that we
with making a massive trade mistake when it's your fault for not paying attention, not strategically, but emotionally.
No. how about they stop listening? You should not be listening right now.
Turn the podcast out, walk away from YouTube for just a minute while we trash this trade.
He did mention he had Toney in this league previously and forgot that he had already traded him away. So
he's like,
that
might have
been part of the confusion. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I would probably take one pick for this package, to be honest with you, because I'm not too big on Claypool. And now that you remove, I don't know, it's tough to bash it when you know the guy that it shouldn't happen, I guess.
Like to me, none of these pieces is worth a first.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, the offer itself was probably nothing I would have replied to because we were way off in value.
Yes.
Yeah, no counter would have even come for me for that one.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
So emotionally, you join a new league and you get a new startup. And that's how you try to get over that one.
You go to the Mexican restaurant, you get yourself a chimichanga and margaritas, okay?
A lot of margaritas.
Yeah. Don't stop on the margaritas, just keep going.
But hey, Kadarius Toney, I liked him last year. I'm hoping for you. Cole Kmet could have a breakout. I'm gonna stop trying to justify the trade.
Yeah. You're working hard on that one.
Okay, so our next one was TA3, and this is another one. There's a lot going on here. There's like seven players in this trade. So Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon, Tyler Lockett, Ricky Seals-Jones, and a 2024 third for DeAndre Hopkins, Leonard Fournette, Robert Woods.
Is this close for you guys?
It's
yes.
Really?
Well, which side do you not think it's close for?
Oh, I think I would rather have the Saquon side.
Okay, that's right.
That's what you would say. Yeah. A lot. Like, I want Saquon over Leonard Fournette. I could see Tyler Lockett and DeAndre Hopkins being a wash. Maybe you say Melvin Gordon and Tyler Lockett is equal to that. Whatever, Robert Woods is old, coming off ACL. Yeah,
to me, Saquon is easily the most, by far the most valuable player in this
Sets the offer aside. You know.
That's where it starts for me. That's really where it is. It's DeAndre for Saquon. You want to throw in the extra pieces, though, for me. I mean, Fournette, you know, is the number one guy who just came off a top 10 season. We don't know where Gordon is. We don't know where Lockett is. We know where Robert Woods is, who potentially could be a good wide receiver, too. If Barkley's Barkley, no. Not even close. But it's Barkley.
Yeah, and I have Barkley colored glasses on. So
okay, that's fair. Okay, then that makes sense. Okay.
I am an optimistic Barkley guy.
This has traditionally been a pro Barkley podcast.
Yes,
that is true. That is very true.
I think Russ might trade him for CeeDee Lamb or trade CeeDee Lamb for him. So
yeah
that's if he was really... on the air with Har for so many years.
Exactly. Yeah. Burn.
I mean, if you believe in Barkley, absolutely. If he's a top five back, you're right. This isn't there. But if Barkley doesn't hit the top five, if Gordon doesn't find a home and he gets at least 150 carries, he's not going to be relevant. Lockett, do we know he'll be in Seattle? If he is, who's their quarterback? So I feel like you get more security with the Hopkins side, Hopkins, Fournette, and Woods. There's a lot more security. There's no questions, I think, at their values. But you're right. The floor is there. The ceiling is on the other side.
Of and looking at it now, I mean, I can see the argument like, you could make an argument Leonard Fournette's going to outscore Saquon Barkley in 2022. And DeAndre Hopkins is just as valuable, more valuable than any other piece on the other side.
Yeah.
And if you believe in Woods, then, you know, he's going to come back from this injury. I think he could have a nice little season. I don't expect a ton from him, but I can see the logic behind it. I still would take the Saquon side.
Remember, we're talking about the non-point scoring season. You know, all of this is points-wise, the bottom could win. But value-wise, it's not close.
Agreed.
Saquon's value is so much higher than everybody else in this trade.
Even with his value being depressed. Like, his value is as low as it's ever been, yeah.
Yeah, you need to be making an offer. I mean, how high would you go this year for at first? Is it 101 for Barkley? Like, is that – like, you got the shades on, so I'm assuming you're giving up.
I have Breece Hall in my – if I just off the top of my head, top six or seven running backs.
Is he JT level?
Like he's not quite, but he's close.
Yeah.
His profile is the same. Almost.
Yeah. He had like
athletically, he's great. He's produced. I mean, I don't see why he can't be.
What was it? PFF or somebody had this, some score for certain backs, like based on their athleticism and their profile and all that. And he got a 99 and a few other. He's like one of only like six guys to ever get a 99. I forget who it was. It might be PFF. It might be somebody else. I'm not sure. But I kind of agree just because he's younger and people are going to want him more. So the production could be there. I wish I knew where he was going. But the production could just be – again, Saquon's range of outcomes is so –
it varied. Is.
Yeah.
It's RB2 to the RB1, you know?
Yeah.
You put him in Indy, he's probably RB1 right now. Like the RB1 if you have him in Indianapolis. Barkley.
Oh, okay. Barkley. You still think he might get traded? I kind of think
So we're talking about I was thinking in my head. I don't know why I didn't. So we're talking about Jonathan Taylor and Hall comparisons. The reason why Taylor was so successful is he went to a perfect situation for him, a fantastic offensive line. Everything around him is trying to be successful towards the quarterback position.
And then Marlon Mack.
The issues were just the running back competition. So that's my only fear with trading for the 101 is what if he does go to a team and he's sharing because they think that they need to fill a need and he's an amazing player. Like Tampa Bay, if they add, or Carolina. Oh, I'm sorry, not Carolina. I don't even know why I'm blanking on a few teams that could grab him. But I just have a fear there is a chance that a team might grab him that shouldn't for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I can't remember who it is. I remember hearing – I shouldn't even brought it up. Because
like Derrick Henry a couple years ago was behind DeMarco Murray, and we all were like, oh, I love Derrick Henry, right, for example. And – that's just what I don't want. Like A.J. Dillon now behind Aaron Jones. Like A.J. Dillon wasn't getting all the hype he is now, but imagine if A.J. Dillon was getting it.
This isn't what I was thinking of, but actually on Locked On Dynasty with Ryan McDowell and Matt Williamson, I think it might have been today's show. So somebody had mentioned that there was talk that Tennessee was a low-key option to draft one of those top three running backs. Like the kind of what they did with Henry, like you just said, where he was kind of stuck sort of in tandem with DeMarco Murray for a little while, which would be a disaster for whoever that guy is.
I don't know that it would be that much of a disaster because Derrick Henry is going to be 28, and so
but he could still be waiting 2 years like before the guy is really relevant. Like,
I think if they took someone early, then that's the sign that Henry's out after this year.
So. Good. I mean, can they get out from him after next year? I don't know what his contract situation is. I know both guys are looking now.
I love contract. That's another thing.
I
brought that up real quick. Like, when it comes to trading for players, you need to look at contracts. Like, if you were trading for Juju Smith-Schuster last year, did you remember he was on a one-year contract? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you know he had an opportunity?
Get out right now.
I always pay attention to that stuff.
They could get out right now. His cap is 15 and his dead is 6.
Oh, okay.
It's safe now.
So maybe, yeah, if they draft
next year, 15 and a half and 3. Yeah, it's
like whenever they want out. Stop. You're scaring me now. You're making this start to come more to fruition. Like, that's awesome. I mean, they got Robert. Let's think about it. They have AJ Brown and Robert Woods. They aren't grabbing a wide receiver. They obviously have other needs. Yeah.
I don't want that to happen for Breece Hall, but I don't think it would be the worst, the worst scenario in the world. You know, you go to a team that's very run based, and then in theory, King Henry, passes on the throne.
Before we move on to the next trade, Eric, who's been chiming in the chat, his last comment was Barkley may have more value, but Fournette is easier to move. I was wondering if you guys agree with that.
Sure, but you're selling for much cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Barkley, yeah, he has more value, but like we said, you're at the lowest potential. I think Fournette, you're lucky to get a second for.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's why, because people aren't taking what Saquon buyer wants to pay.
Exactly.
But
you could
sell. Move Fournette for a second. If they draft someone in the draft, I mean, do you think he's going to be RB8 again? I don't know.
I'm not banking on RB8 again for him anyway, but I think that if you're given a second for a 27-year-old running back, you're probably only hoping for a couple decent RB2 seasons anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled the Fournette shares I had still have value this year. So, because I had quite a few I traded for down the stretch of playoff runs last year.
I got one more Barkley question. Do you believe in Jones then? Like, are you believing that because the offense hasn't done anything, and that's got, we obviously know that's why Barkley is struggling, but do you have to believe in Jones if you're believing in Barkley, right?
Kind of. My hope is that Dable is the, tide that raises all ships or whatever that saying is.
Gotcha.
and that they improve the offensive line. I mean, from everything you hear, they're taking at least one offensive lineman with their two top 10 picks. I think they brought somebody in. I am not super up on offensive lineman signings, but from what I remember. So that's my hope. And again, I realize I'm being optimistic. I just believe in the talent. He had the season ending injury in game two, 2 years ago. And then some freak, coming off that injury, you often struggle to begin with anyway. And then he had the freak. I stepped on some guy's ankle who was laying on the ground and then messed up his ankle. So,
I don't think you have to believe in Daniel Jones to believe in Saquon, though.
It's true. I mean, his rookie year, they were not good.
Go back to 2019, Jones' rookie year, and Saquon played 13 games, had 1,000 yards, another 438 in receptions.
Yeah, what was the catches? That's what I was going to ask, because wasn't that his career high?
No, his rookie year, he had 91. He caught 52.
Yeah, wasn't that his career high?
Yeah.
Oh, in 2019 when he did well, you're saying. I'm sorry.
He did. He did fine. He did. He wasn't great. Yeah. He had that high ankle sprain that cost him a few games.
Yeah, that was the year where, he kind of struggled for a lot of the year and then came on in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And
I think he got injured without pulling his game log. He got injured in like week 7 or something.
Yeah.
Three games. Came back, struggled a little bit, and then went off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to hear someone else like Barkley. I haven't heard much of it this offseason, and I agree. I think it's nice to hear all of us on here.
In history, typically good offenses carry running backs.
Yeah.
But then you have guys like Christian McCaffrey, outlier guys. And I think Saquon can be an outlier guy.
Yeah.
So that outperforms the offense.
I mean, his rookie year, Eli was still the quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were that was not a good Eli. So,
no.
he managed to have a great season with a not great offense that year.
2,000 total yards. I'd say it was pretty good. 15 touchdowns. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got two pretty big ones here to finish us off. This one was actually me, Trade Addicts 9. Kyle Pitts for Gerald Everett and three 2023 firsts. Justin, thoughts?
I love Kyle Pitts. I love him. He gone. He gone. 323 first. That's a pot of gold.
I will say these were three first from teams that did make the playoffs last year for whatever.
One of those got one of those teams is not making the playoffs next year, and
also that, one of them is mine, so I can control if that. And my team is a little. It's not as good as it was last year when I made the playoffs. I made a series of trades in the semis. If you listen to TradeX regularly, you'll probably remember this. I made a series of trades in the semis to try and bail out an injury-riddled team, and some of them were not so great long-term-wise, and it didn't work out anyway. I lost in the semis. So, and between that and doing the outhouse challenge and having a couple trades go through in this league, this team is very middling, so I'm not even sure which way I'm going to go with it. But now that I have my own first, I can decide what I want to
do. So you sold Pitts?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I feel good for you. I feel
good. Oh, this whole time like I was thinking it was the other way.
Like you said, one of the first is yours. You know, if you wanted to hit the reset button and just.
And there's some pieces on this. Like, I even at tight end, I still have Kittle and Ertz. I got Kittle in an outhouse challenge trade. I got Hurts and Brady. So, I mean, I got Eckler. So, I mean, there's I could even try and compete. Yeah. I have the 106 and the 109. So I could even try and compete with this team, supplement it with pick. I just love the flexibility. I could go anyway. I could blow it up. I could try and compete. I could sell all the first, whatever I want to do.
I always say that when you trade for first, it doesn't mean you have to wait for those picks to mature in a rookie draft. Those are assets that are going to be tradable for, you know, for players, especially when a team starts 0-3 and they're like, nope, I'm out of this. Let me, you know, sell some pieces, build for the future, you know, find the Larry Monkey in your league and exploit him because he's going to be ready to sell every player he's got.
And that's exactly my thing. Like I said, I have some pieces. It doesn't look like a surefire title winner, but I could just head into the season with these guys. And if I start off 6-2, maybe I start selling 2023 first are going to be gold to teams that are out of it, you know, with the way that draft is. So I could probably get a lot to compete if I start off good. Yeah. So, any thoughts before we move on to the last one, Antonio?
Oh, I have some thoughts. to me, a player, three firsts is a max value for a player in any dynasty. That's where, like, you start getting over that, you're getting a little crazy. I think you have to shuffle things and finagle things around. But you also have to be an active player, I think, if you're going to be the one getting the three firsts. And you were just talking about your whole strategy for how you expect to deploy these three firsts already and almost no intentions to keep to pick them. You got to hope that if you're a manager that is willing to do that and willing to make those moves, then that's the case, because you could also be sacrificing yourself since all three of those picks are the same year. What if the class does change next year? Because we are a year away from now. You could be hurting yourself and those picks could lose some value. With that being said, I still would rather have Kyle Pitts. Justin, I can only imagine what you're thinking inside right now, but I'm a massive Kyle Pitts fan. I think he is not a tight end. I think he is an animal. I think he is a wide receiver that he just scratched the surface. The guy hasn't scored a touchdown in America yet. And he almost had 1,100 receiving yards without a 100-yard game till week 9. I think he is a player and everybody, well, not everybody, a lot of people are bashing the Matt Ryan move to Indy. Because they think Matt Ryan sucks. Well, if you think Matt Ryan sucks and you just saw what Kyle Pitts did on 68 catches, the guy had over 15 yards a catch. Like, that's for wide receivers. That's Mike Williams was 15.1 or 16.1, and he's one of the most deep down threats. I think Kyle Pitts is the combination of a wide receiver and tight end. I think he is worth the three first. Like you just said as well, they're potentially a late first. So you're almost guaranteed you got to move them because you're not getting one of those three players that are going to equate to Kyle Pitts, especially in a tight end premium.
They could be late first. One's mine, which I said, my team could go either way. One is the guy who earned the 107. So I do think that could go either way. And like you said, I might not hold all of them. But, yeah, to me, I love Kyle Pitts too.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's just, yeah, three, not just three first, three 2023 first. It's like – if you're plugged in, 2023 firsts are just, you know, God's gift to Dynasty. So,
and you're hoping to have to make, like, you're not hoping though, because you're probably going to have to move up, right? I mean, I think we're looking at three quarterbacks as the top four picks right now.
It's a very good running. You talking about 2023? It's a very good running back class too.
Oh, is it more? Is it more running back heavy too?
No, it's both. It's everything.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Bijan Robinson, but there's a couple other good guys in there. There's
four or five deep at running back.
So you're probably looking at 8 to 10 players that we're thinking right now, without anybody else even showing up, that's going to be like really good players as well.
Yeah, it's sort of similar to like 2020.
Yeah,
where we had the five good running backs. We had some good quarterbacks.
Okay. That makes some sense. So, I mean, it does swindle a little bit more for me. And you're tight, but you're a playoff contender. I think that also is why I would probably want the Pitts part.
But like, like I said, like you said,
I get it heavily.
I can move those first for playoff pieces if I so choose. So,
yeah.
And like I said, I have two first now that I haven't moved yet that I could also potentially move for starters. So,
where is he in your startup for like a TA league, Pitts?
I know in TA 10, which we drafted last August, he went in the first. I think in most startups, he's going late first, early second.
Yeah,
you agree with that, Justin?
1.75, he's going to go late first.
I was thinking top five, so that's good. You guys are way more versed in the 1.75.
Well, people are quarterback crazy, so usually in a lot of these leagues, the top like seven of the top eight picks are quarterbacks or something like that. So, okay, so we'll get to our last trade of the night. Justin Jefferson, this is TA 10. Justin Jefferson, 307, 2023 third. For Cam Akers, Travis Etienne, and Keenan Allen. Now, to me, I saw this happen today. I saw this go through. I'm in TA10 as well. To me, this is a little late for Jefferson. I'm curious your thoughts. It probably doesn't help that I'm not the biggest Etienne and Akers fan. But even with knowing their value, I still think this is light. Are you in agreement, Justin?
I am. If this was December, I could see making this trade. You know, you need some pieces for a championship run, but I'm not trading away the wide receiver 1B if he's not wide receiver 1A.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trading him away for Akers, Etienne, and Allen. And I like all – no, wait. I like two of those guys. I'm not a big Akers guy. Not anymore. I was real big on him coming out of college, but – I think that Achilles injury.
I was too, actually, for all the reputation I have as an Akers hater. But
I love them. Still love them.
I think the Achilles is affecting him. You know, it certainly looked like it. He didn't have when we all watched that first game. He came back and he had a handful of carries. It did look like he had some burst. It looked like he was springy, like he was good. And then you didn't see that again in the playoffs. Like it just nothing.
But clearly, judging for coming back as early as he did and then not performing as well as we were hoping after coming back, you know, at that point, that's why I'm just kind of watching. Yeah. I'm just kind of watching the end of that. And I'm saying, you know what? The fact that you got on there and I was able to see a few things from what I hoped to see season one, I'm still in.
Yeah.
As far as the trade goes, you're right though. I mean, I can sit here and have hopes and dreams all I want of what Cam Akers can be, you know, what Justin Jefferson is. And with Cam Akers, Etienne, and Allen, you only know what one of those three players are. Keenan Allen's great. You hope he's still going to be a wide receiver one. You're hoping Herbert stays to be consistent, and they're taking that next leap. That division's not easy this year anymore. And Mike Williams was able to help Keenan Allen. But, you know, we talked about Etienne earlier with Robinson battling him. We talked about Akers and hoping the Rams can get into him. You're not asking any questions about Justin Jefferson, and you're getting picks on top of it? Slam dunk. I agree.
Yeah, I just need someone better. And I love Keenan, but he's going to be 30 soon. Keenan's the best performer in this trade, like guaranteed performer, but he's an old guy. I just need someone better, like younger and better, if I'm going to trade Justin Jefferson. Like I did move Jefferson in the league this non-point scoring season, but I got CeeDee Lamb plus back. So, that's the kind of thing I'd be looking to do.
So you got you upgraded at wide receiver and got the plus? Right. For you,
that's the thing to keep in mind though. Like I can love CeeDee Lamb all day and I'll have Judy over Debo, but you don't go accepting a trade straight up for those players, regardless of how well your conviction is, because again, hopes and dreams are great, but you know, you got to still understand where the value is. And if you like swap out DeAndre Swift for Cam Akers, This gets a little closer for me.
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest shockers too of this trade was this was John Bosch, who rivals Russ for hating running backs and is very public about that. And he traded Justin Jefferson for two running backs in April and Keenan Allen. I was shocked.
Wow.
He did, like you said, this is the TA-10, which we drafted back in August and then didn't play the league in 2021. And he went very, very light on running back for that reason. And as mentioned, you know, he needs to get running backs eventually, but I probably would have tried to do it a different way.
Yeah, to give up that piece and not get any proven RB. Detroit, though, that was another thing on the aside. I don't want Hall to go there. That's another fear. Is there like, oh, Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I want to run the ball all day, but I will only give Swift 15 carries. That's it. Let's get someone else too.
Yes, no, don't even say that. I don't want that spoken into existence.
Yeah, you know, I'm not against Tennessee taking him. But please don't do that. Please don't put him in Detroit.
Oh, man.
Okay. You get something else, Antonio?
I guess I know we've hit our quota. We're doing a pretty good job today for time. So
Russell, I say this every time Russ isn't on. Russell will be very happy. We passed the 90-minute mark.
We did it. Yeah. Yay!
we can talk, man. I don't know. I guess that's just surprising to me that an elite talent got moved for – like the pieces as of that, like I, even after hearing it, I'm still surprised. Like after I hear the background of the storyline, yeah. Usually I hear the background and I'm like, oh, it makes more sense. Like I can see it, but for this one, I still can't see that.
Yeah. I just think you need a little more. Yeah. So sorry, Bosch. But as Russ would say, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank Justin for coming on, helping me out here. I want to thank Antonio for coming on, being our guest tonight. So, Antonio, as we always do at the end, remind everybody again where they can find you and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Great time. I appreciate you guys for having me. I know I dragged on a little bit, man, but that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to ramble.
That's what we do here.
That's what we do. You can find a lot of rambling tweets at Antonio Denisi FF. You can follow our pod, Dynasty Mafia Podcast, at DynastyMafia_FF. Hit me up, questions, chat. I just love to do it. I got nothing better to do right now. It's the off season.
Okay, so I'll finish up with some of our Trade Addict stuff here. Follow me at Dynasty Outhouse. Follow Russ at Dynasty FF Addict. Follow Justin at Run DFF. Also, he's got a great pod, as you're probably all aware, with Larry Monkey, Dynasty Hot Sauce. Go listen to that after you listen to this if you haven't already. We got the Patreon where you can see Justin and Antonio's beautiful faces. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can see us when we're recording. You can get into the Cool Kids Club, our group me chat. A lot of smart people in there. Both these guys are in there. Shay Manila's in there. J Mike's in there. A lot of smart people. And, ffpodshirts.storenv.com. I believe Russ still has all the proceeds for everything we sell there going to Fantasy Cares. So it's a great cause. And you can get some cool stuff from a whole bunch of different pods, including everything on the DAP network. You can follow the DAP network at DAP_network, Trade Addicts at Trade Addicts Pod, and I think that's it. If there's more, I don't feel like thinking about it. So good night, everybody.
Good night, Rocky. Good night, Antonio.
Good night, Justin. Good night, Rocky.